Last time on Wanderlust. So you guys are looking into the mouth of this C-shaped mountain range, which I believe is now called the Dragonback Mountains. You see something very small creeping out of the, like, swirling gray outside. You can almost see it looming out of the trees. And then you see two bright orange eyes pop open.
So a baby Blighthound.
This is really bad. This is, like, really, really bad. My goal is to lure it, and she's gonna try to help fix the paw.
You hear a shout from a young woman way off in the forest, right? So from the north. And then, like, the flip of a switch, you hear what you assume is the sound of a whining Blighthound. All of the Blighthounds that you can see, three of them, immediately on their feet, pointed, and without a single sound. And then you just see shapes going from under the rocks up and out. Like, you can just see these faint orange glowing lines just scattering through the smoke.
How many?
A lot.
Are there kids in there?
No, it is totally empty. You can see two adolescent Blighthounds. You can see they're, like, kind of scrabbling at the walls, like, slowly digging away at the dirt. And up on this island and this little bit of rock, you can see three, to your eyes, very small figures at this point.
He's going to get out a couple. He's going to get out his, like, forging hammer and one of his other tools.
Noisemakers, yeah.
Yeah. And he's just going to start, like, kind of running towards that island. We came from Smoky Banks to look for you. I assume you're the ones we're looking for.
Finally! That's great. Oh, no, it's only been a couple of days that I've been hunted by those things. Glad you finally showed up! And as you do, you start hearing howling. And from the top, you can see a herd of orange joint silhouettes running towards the cliff face.
Oh, Katars, we gotta move fast!
A Blighthound jumps up and, like, stretches himself as far up as he can and grabs on to the, like, heel of Fred's boot and starts dragging him down. The Blighthound bites down harder and the boot slips off of Fred's foot and he's just kind of, like, swung loose from the wall as you're hoisting him up and the Blighthound is still, like, tearing at the wall right underneath of Autumn and Fred.
Guffy grabs the rope behind me and he's pulling too.
Yeah.
The day is quickly winding down as all of you are now in a broken mountain range high above this kind of pit of ash and dust. Not really ash, more dust. Just dehydrated, you know, plant material that has become these Blighthounds' home. You can see it almost as a, like, a fog bank far underneath of you as all of you are kind of settling down to make camp with three young kids kind of huddling around a little fire.
So are we currently in the, we're currently in the hexagon that is to the, as east as we can go of the mountain.
Yep.
Backwards sea range.
Yep.
What do we say? The Dragonback Mountains?
Yes, the Dragonback Mountains, as all of you named them.
So which one of the children was the injured one?
That would have been
the 15-year-old.
Yeah, the older girl.
And what? And was it her arm?
I think it was, yeah. No, it was her leg. She was limping, right?
Yes.
Okay. And
because Juliet helped her move quickly, or quicker, to get to the cliff to climb up.
Okay.
Yeah, she, like, wasn't able to climb.
Right. So I think we get to a fairly level spot. And Juliet kind of looks around and drops her pack and says, this looks like a fine place to settle for tonight. Let's get cooking some food.
Can Autumn do first aid on the leg?
You can try to, yeah.
Woo!
How good's your first aid?
+2.
Okay, so is mine, so.
Oh, gosh.
Before, well, I mean, I kind of already have an indication of how it went. I was also thinking maybe Fred could, like, craft a splint or something.
That'd be fine. Yeah.
That would give me shift, though, right? I'm just trying to understand how we're playing this.
I know. I'm trying to think of the right way to put it. She's an NPC, and she's not going to, like, die, so I don't want to mislead you guys on how relevant some of these things are and are not going to be.
I think if we can't care about the NPCs, then we can't care about the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to ignore people and not use our skills on them.
And then, Cody, at the same time, if we didn't address the limping 15-year-old, you'd say, you're now chased by Blighthounds. You have a limping 15-year-old. You can't get away. Like, I can see that happening, so I'm not taking any chances.
That's fine.
That is a +4 to craft a splint or some kind of thing to help her walk.
Okay, cool. And Zach, what was your roll?
0.
Oh, okay. So you guys make a splint and tie it around her leg, and it basically succeeds in, like, immobilizing it, but not so much in fixing it. So she's clearly still, like, a little bit pained when she's trying to walk. But as you're doing all of this, she's kind of, like, grumpily at best, just kind of like, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Happy to help. I'm better at the splint part, not so much all the, like, cut-up bits, but hopefully those will heal fine.
I have a lot of confidence.
Hey, optimism is useful.
Yeah, I don't think you're helping.
I've found that, yeah. While I was getting chewed on by a Blighthound, I did optimize it away, so that's true.
I mean, if you gave up, you wouldn't be here, so, you know?
I don't necessarily follow that logic, but all right, sure. Had I given up, I wouldn't be here.
If we are putting together food for everyone, are we going to need to knock off, like, if I have 4 days worth of food, am I going to knock off 2 to give, like, the kid one?
Yeah, basically.
I will. I can knock off a lot because I packed extra for this reason.
Okay.
I mean, we've got plenty of food.
I think we do too, but, you know, playing the game.
I got the food for all the kids, so.
Oh, all right.
I packed all of my storage with food for this reason, so.
So Estelle's going to go ahead and she'll make up, kind of using whatever people hand her, make up enough food for everybody. And I think once we're all, you know, sitting and resting with our dinner, she's going to turn to the kids. All right, so it's nice to meet you three. My name is Miss Settlemeyer. What are your names?
The 10-year-old boy goes, I'm Rodney. I'm the leader of the group. And this little one over here is Ashley. Ashley is, like, she's a little bit more calm, just kind of, like, sitting and happily eating.
Are you sure? Because she was jumping on top of Fred last episode.
She's also 5.
Yeah, but now there's also now food and she's hungry.
That's fair.
She's about to take a nap. And then the older girl kind of, like, chimes in before her little brother can introduce her and goes, I'm Fiona.
Well, it's nice to meet you three. You know, I really have to commend all three of you. You are all very, very brave. I am so impressed with all of you. That could not have been easy being out here with the Blighthounds.
Oh, well, it's good that they have a fun name at least. It would have been good if they were in a brochure, maybe some signage. Anything like that for the tiny little town that we thought was going to be a fun vacation away instead of monster kidnap?
Well, I will say that I don't think anyone knew that they were there, but now we do, and that's something we can add to the brochure.
Yeah, hey, put up, a sign would be great. A little warning, maybe, you know, just here there be dogs that drag you off and try to feed you to smaller dogs. Just a little, just a tiny heads up.
Yeah, well, you know, that's definitely something that we're going to be bringing up to Sheriff Mitchell when we get back.
Yeah, why isn't he here also? Like, not to be rude or anything, but is he just taking a break?
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to have a conversation with him when we get back.
I think the nice way to put it is, I don't think he knew what he was doing out here. So
he also has a town to take care of.
That too.
We happen to be free, so we went.
I'm sure am glad that making sure, you know, I don't know, what does a sheriff do in Smoky Banks? Ensure that the little skate-
I think his whole MO is trying to make sure people don't leave the town. Like he does say don't leave the path and whatnot. So I think his kind of mindset is don't leave the town, and if you do leave the town, not my problem.
I mean, I'm kind of with Fiona here. Feels kind of like negligence with how much he was trying to convince us not to come.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm not saying it's the right method. I'm just saying that I think that's what he's doing, and I'm going to have a conversation about that with him.
Well, I'm glad you... Maybe I will, too. You know, maybe a strongly worded letter to the face.
Are you going to punch him? As menacingly as a 16-year-old can.
No, it's just, it's going to be a letter. It's going to be 5 words long. She's, like, holding up her fingers, you know, menacingly. First word, thumb. Second word, index finger. Third word.
Oh, all right. We get the picture.
This got a lot less intimidating as you went on, just for the record.
Yeah, I'm not looking for feedback from you. Yeah, I'm not. You told me that optimism would save me. I think that punching a sheriff would, so...
I definitely think it'll help you feel better, if nothing else.
I think she gets it. She gets it.
So, I just wanted to make sure that we touch base with you three. As you have experienced, the wilds are a little much... they can be really intimidating and scary. So we just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. We need you all to trust that we're going to get you home. So if we say you need to do something, you know, put on a mask, cover your face, don't move. We all need to be on the same page with this, okay? And if you see something, say something. All right? This is the time where we all got to be watching out for each other. Do you think you guys can follow that?
Well, we didn't die for as long as you have been out here, so yeah, we can probably handle that. Generally, what we did is if we saw something, we disappeared. So if I'm suddenly gone and then you get eaten by something, just know I saw it first.
Were you not with the Blighthounds the whole time?
Oh, okay, so I was drug
mm-hmm.
by the Blighthounds all the way back to their little area.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let their frickin' foul spawn try to kill us for kind of a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so most of your experience out here was mostly around those mountains and around that home.
And being drugged through the woods, yeah. Yeah, those things mainly.
All right. Like I said, very impressed with everything y'all have done so far. We've been able to pick up on some things being out here in this part of the wild. So I think between the seven of us and Guffy here, we'll be able to get everyone home safe.
Fiona just kind of nods the youngest child has, like, already just kind of, like, slumped over into her food asleep.
Guffy is right next to Ashley, the youngest one.
Yeah. And Rodney, you can tell, is, like, trying to, like, pay attention to this conversation, but is also, like, just kind of, like, thousand yards staring into the fire at this point as he's finally getting to relax for a minute.
Right. All right. I think that's bedtime. We can, we'll just double down on this conversation later. I think the three of you need the rest. So let's get you all set up.
Autumn puts the two younger kids in her hammock.
I will assume that you all spend the night, like, with someone on watch. So the night passes uneventfully. You can hear, like, kind of far down below, like I said, in that dusty fog, an occasional howl. But the trip around to get to you would be extremely long, and you don't, you know, hear footsteps yet or anything like that. The weather around you throughout the night grows dark and sort of foggy and damp as you're like kind of high up and clouds start to build around you. Sunrise is not grim, but gray. You know, the sun breaks through sort of low hanging clouds on an overcast day that maybe seems like it's threatening to drizzle as you look around and realize you're kind of high up in a mountain range and you're going to have to make a sort of laborious trip back as you make your way back towards the settlement as Fred is down one boot.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. I do have that actually is a good segue. One of the children was missing shoes, right? Is that something that happened? That was...
You got a boot stolen.
I got one of my boots stolen. I thought I remembered hearing that one of the children didn't have shoes or something.
I think that can make sense. Yeah, let's say yes, in case it is true. I will trust your memory on this.
Okay. I may be remembering completely incorrectly.
You may also not be.
Whatever the case is, Fred is going to take a couple like strips off the bed sheet and make some foot wraps.
Mm-hmm.
As many as are needed for himself and for child that may or may not be missing. Choose.
I'll say that is the middle child, Rodney, the little boy who seems like he was probably the most likely to lose his shoes. As you're tying up his feet and he's kind of like watching you do this, he goes, "Did someone drag you out here?"
What do you mean?
Well, I didn't want to get drug out here, so why did you get drug out here?
Oh, I mean, we came looking for you guys.
Oh. Did you, like, have to do... Is that, like, your job?
No. We heard that some kids were missing, and we thought it'd be a good idea to probably bring them back, because the wilds are dangerous.
Are you, like, a tree guy? You, like, a guy that knows about trees?
No, not at all. If you're looking for someone that knows, like, trees and stuff, that's her over there. Points at Juliet.
You know, I gotta tell you what. I had an experience with trees. They're not that great. You know, everyone talks about the trees. They suck. Gonna say it. The trees suck. They're not worth it. Pass on the trees.
What happened with you and trees?
This got a lot more alarming.
He looks pointedly around and down at his missing feet. Or his missing shoes.
His missing feet.
Yes. His now gone feet. Well, I got kidnapped by a scary monster. So that's been my experience with, you know... A wild adventure in the wilderness.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. It's pretty rough out here.
And you just volunteered for that. Just, yeah, why not?
Yeah, as far as I know, the sheriff doesn't even know we came out here.
Now, that I respect. That seems funny. That I can get behind. I could see doing this again for spite. That makes sense. As you finish wrapping up his feet, he hops down, looks at you, and goes... Next time, you should probably have a reason like you got drug out by a monster. Otherwise, it seems really stupid, and he just walks off. And you can hear him say to the like, six-year-old, like, adults are dumb.
And as he walks off, Fred kind of says to himself, you're not wrong, kid.
All of you, start packing up and making your way back towards the settlement. The trip is kind of the inverse of what, and by the settlement, by the way, in case we're being too vague on this, this is the, that like modular futuristic society that you guys found.
The lunar colony.
The futuristic society.
Yes. The like lunar looking colony in the middle of a forest. And sorry, I have to open the map back up on the other computer because I closed a bunch of stuff to try to make my connection less sucky.
I mean, not even just lunar looking. The computer told us it was from a moon, right?
Yes.
It was made on a moon. All right, so the trip to the northwest is actually pretty easy. You make your way down out of the mountains, and as soon as you do, almost kind of like how there's breaks where like rain clouds hit mountains and then all of a sudden there's desert after it, you're kind of walking through the opposite. Like, the Blighthounds clearly don't venture up this mountain range, so right over it, it suddenly gets very verdant again, and you're basically walking down into thick forest. You can actually see the settlement almost on a lower mountaintop across the valley. You know, you're walking a little bit along the line of this half moon, backwards half moon shape of mountains, and then up, like down into a valley, and then back up towards this settlement. This walk is pleasant in a way that you can tell the kids especially need. Fiona is still limping, but she seems in better spirits as this is the first time she's actually experiencing this kind of walk without being drug or under threat of death. She seems kind of quiet and just taking it in, but the two younger kids are frequently running away, like not far, but far enough that you're having to stop and wrangle them a little bit. They're picking up a lot of sticks. They're throwing things. They kind of keep hitting each other, but in a good-natured way. As you can tell, they're enjoying being moving without being threatened. And this is kind of the, like, half-day walk that it takes to get you back to this settlement. So you're like, you know, start making your way up. The overcast morning has broken. As you make your way up, you know, a little bit later than noon to the settlement from the other direction. Once you get up there, they go, "Wow, is this where you guys live?"
"I wish. It's a good location, but unfortunately not."
"So it's just, what, it's just out? Did the Blighthounds build it?"
No, I don't think they could have done something like this."
"That was a joke. I know, they don't have hands."
"Well, you're very smart."
"All right, so you guys are back in the settlement. What's everyone wanting to do?"
"Well, the first thing I'm going to do is go to that, like, requisition room where all the stuff was and try to find some shoes."
Okay, roll me, some kind of investigate sort of check.
Okay.
"You find flip-flops."
I also want to go there and see if they have any better medical supplies than we have. Specifically to see if we can help out the 15-year-old.
Sure.
The, Fiona.
"Yep.
I got a negative one."
"There just aren't boots. Like, you're able to find, you're able to ask, but you do not find boots."
Do I need to roll for medical supplies?
Yes.
Okay. Guess I'm going to roll with Inquisitive.
Okay.
That's a wash on the dice, so plus one.
All right. So with a plus one, you can maybe find some bandages and attempt to make it better, but they aren't helping all that much.
Okay. I think I personally have better stuff in, like, my pack, so.
Yeah, I mean, you could try it again, like, because you have not tried to, you know, like, check her dressing, see if you can help out a little bit. But you don't find anything all that great. I would say probably because a lot of their medical supplies got used up when interacting with the Blighthounds.
Yeah. I mean, if it's still working for her right now, I'll just leave it.
Okay.
So we don't make it worse.
Yeah, she's not, like, you know, in critical condition.
Yeah.
At the moment.
So, Fiona, did you get dragged through here that you remember?
We got drugged kind of around. I just don't think they bothered to climb up the mountain here. They just went around it.
Okay. Because there is evidence that there was a Blighthound here. But you're saying it wasn't...
I could believe that. It wasn't the one that was dragging us in that moment, you know, but there are for sure others around, so that would make sense.
All right.
I mean, that's good news for us, so hopefully they won't feel the need to come to the mountain now either.
Hopefully.
I'm going to do one other roll in that room, Cody.
Okay.
I want to see if they have... I want to see what food they have.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
That's a plus two.
Okay, let me ask this. Do you want extra food or do you just want to see what the type of food is?
I'm curious if they have any, like, okay, so in my head, these are, they're from, like, the moons. So maybe they, like, I'm thinking like astronaut, like freeze-dried fruit foods. So if there's something like that, that would be cool to maybe bring along as like an easier, more portable thing to take. But if they have like, I don't know, a full turkey, you know, I'm not going to take that.
Okay.
Well, obviously they're from the moon, so it's all cheese.
Oh, of course.
So you type into like the little thing or say aloud, whatever, like, I want food. And then a pretty extensive menu pops up and it lists a number of what it calls nutritional canisters. And then it lists a variety of options. So it's like nutritional canister with flavor option A, texture option B. And it just kind of like lists all these like proper nouns that would be kind of unfamiliar to you, you know? It might be like membug crunch. Like, what does that mean? And it just has like, so it basically it gives like flavor and texture additives that go into what it calls, what did I say? Like
nutritional canister.
Nutritional canisters. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We're trying them all.
I'm going to guess we don't have enough room to take everything they have if there's a huge variety. But I want to say that I've got maybe like 3 pounds. So I want to like pull out 3 pounds worth of various things.
So sure. So when you ask for nutritional canisters, basically what the thing that lights up, like the area in the shelving that lights up, is, you know, a little drawer opens. And there are these things that are about the size of, you know, like a pop bottle. And they're made of metal, and when you pick one up, they're clearly full of some kind of liquid. And then there are much smaller vials as well, so like whatever flavor combinations you selected, those are like thimble-sized, right? And there's tons of them, like tons and tons and tons and tons of these things. But the actual, like, the actual larger bottles, you know, those probably weigh 0.5 pound a piece.
Okay, I'm going to change what I said. I'm going to grab one nutritional canister, and then I'm going to grab however much is like 3 pounds worth of those flavor things for Matthew.
Oh,
okay. Do you want to try to open one of the nutritional canisters, or are you just grabbing?
I'm just grabbing them for now.
Okay.
I figure this is like an experiment to do with Matthew back home at this point.
Gotcha.
Since I don't know what they are. If I like knew what it was, I would like potentially be using them for food on the way back. But since we don't know, experiment time back at home.
So this is a gift for Matthew. Got it.
Yes.
Got it.
Because I used up all his mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I think he'll get a kick out of these.
We can have a tasting party.
We just got to hope that the whatever they eat, either the canisters or the flavor capsules, are not poisonous to us.
But Juliet can take some samples back to her lab and run some tests on their edibility. Edibleness?
I like the idea that you just call your, like, apartment your lab. I'll take these back to the lab. Don't you have a one-room apartment?
No, I mean, she's been to the university.
Yeah, I know.
But now that you've said that, all I can imagine is Juliet taking out, like, a chemistry set from under her bed.
Can't sleep. Gotta run tests.
Exactly.
All right, anything else that anyone wants to do?
I don't think so.
Autumn is good.
Okay, cool. So are you guys just continuing on your way then?
Yes.
All right.
I think so, yeah.
Cool. So it's starting to get dark as you are making your way through the woods. Anyone who's really good at Roll 20, I'm just going to apologize for my existence.
Well, they can't see it, so they just hear that you're doing a bad job.
He can still apologize for his existence, you know.
So you're at the foot of some rolling hills. You've walked through more dense forest as it started to kind of wind down in the evening. All of the kids are clearly getting tired, and particularly, gosh, the names, at some point I'm going to remember. Fiona is walking harder at this point. You know, her limp is getting worse. You can tell she's tired. And eventually you come across a clearing that seems decent enough for... Yeah, decent enough clearing to stop for an evening and give the kids a rest. They all seem pretty exhausted. So, you know, you guys light a fire, start gathering up food, whatever, And you're all sort of sitting around as it starts to grow dark, you know, so this is maybe 8 o'clock at night.
So I've been meaning to ask, I have an interest in the flora and fauna out in the wilds, and you three have, I would say, quite a lot of experience with these blighthounds. She has out her notebook. Can you describe from the beginning your extended experience with these creatures?
I can't help but think it's like, please describe your trauma in detail so I can document it for my own scientific interests.
Shh.
Rodney pipes up immediately and goes, it all started when Fiona got stood up for her date and Fiona just punches him in the head. Not in the head, let's say in the arm. He goes, ow! Didn't exactly start with that. I was just, yes, I was supposed to be meeting Dion up by the ruins. So we were up there. It was kind of last night of the vacation, whatever.
If it makes you feel better, Dion's really missing you?
Kind of does a little bit, honestly. It does.
I think he was writing sad poetry.
He was writing poetry about me?
I could be misremembering. It's been a busy 3 days.
I need to tell my parents I'm moving. Anyways, so...
Or you can just not, you know? I hear that works out for people sometimes.
What?
Not telling your parents that you're moving.
Oh, just leaving?
Yeah, I hear it works out for some people.
Oh, I mean, that seems pretty harsh. I imagine they're worried about me. I mean, I'm not going to show up on the train. They're going to be freaking out when I show up like 3 weeks late on a train. Did you?
Anyway, blighthounds?
Do you know someone that just left?
We were talking about blighthounds, right?
Yeah, so the blighthound, right. So we're up there, whatever. We're hanging out. It's getting dark. And then we see these glowing eyes way out in the ruins, and they start running towards us. But, you know, you got to think, in our head, I was like, oh, it must be people on, you know, on their boards. They put lights on them. They're riding around where they're not supposed to be. I was just expecting it to be something like that. But once it became clear that it wasn't, we tried to run. And I think that might have been a good thing. Because we tried to run and it did have a little bit of trouble catching us. But you know, like when, have you ever played with a cat? Like have you ever played with a cat?
Yes.
Well, so the thing is, you know, I'm pretty quick on my feet actually. And as much as I hate to admit it, Rodney is very nimble and he's, you know, good at kind of like gymnastic kind of stuff. He can do some flips is what I'm saying. And then Rodney just kind of starts cartwheeling around going like, look what I can do. Yeah, we had to put him in things. Anyways, doesn't matter. You know, the little one, she can just disappear, Ashley. So the Blighthound actually was struggling to catch us just because I was pretty fast. Freaking Rodney was jumping off its back and Ashley just disappeared, right?
All right.
So I think then, though, it became a game. Like, once it found us, it was, like, playing with us? I think it had more fun finding us than it did eating us. But then at some point it got bored, and there was, like, this awkward moment where I was like, well, maybe it'll just leave. You know, like, we all had some scrapes and bruises. We were all cut up a little bit, but not bad, you know? It hadn't tried to kill us yet. So there was like a pause, and then it just grabbed all of us up in its mouth, which it had a big mouth, and just took off running through the forest. Now, this is where things get hazy. I think we were drugged for about half a day. I think it was like 6 hours it drug us off with it.
In its mouth?
Kinda, like, not all the way inside of it. It was, like, scruff. It was, like, shirts, right? So, like, it wasn't biting down hard enough to break skin, but it was dragging us in its mouth. We would have to stop every once in a while. We stopped 2 or 3 times, but, you know, if we tried to escape, it would just pounce on us and snarl. So, anyways, We get Drug all the way back to that dusty bowl, and we get dropped, and I'm like, okay, so I don't know, like, what's the point? And then there were tons of them, and I was like, oh, it's feeding all of its family. We're about to get eaten.
Can you describe the population size?
Yeah, so there were three young ones. You saw them. There was the one that drug us off, and then that I saw, there were at least, I don't know, it's hard because, like, I know I'm exaggerating, and I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure I'm exaggerating because I want to say there were 50, but there weren't 50.
It just felt like 50.
Well, there were maybe 10 that were, let's say, active moving around that we saw specifically. But then there were clearly a lot more. But I think some of those were older or maybe older adolescent. Like, it seemed like there were 10 prime adults. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then there were clearly older ones that were not moving as quickly that I think eventually we would have been meals for. And there were then there were the young ones, right? So we get dropped there. We see tons of eyes. We can see them moving through the fog, through the dust. And then these three freaking little ones come up and start chasing us. And they, as I found out with my leg, are not as friendly as the big one. They were trying to kill us. And then it just became like, I don't know how long. Honestly, it was hard to keep track of days and nights, but it was basically cat and mouse until you guys showed up.
How did you get food?
We largely didn't. We found some food. We found some things we could eat by digging really deep in the dust. And we found some places way in like cracks in the mountain where there was tiny amounts of moisture that we could drink. But mostly we had some food in like our pockets. And that's about it. There's a reason we ate a lot of food when you guys rescued us and then fell asleep.
Fair, yeah. So the one that found you, it had sort of a playful beginning predatory stage, and then it was solitary. It was by itself.
That one was by itself, yeah.
And it was one of the active adults, as you called them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did it seem like other adults had been sent out the way the one that brought you back was? Were there animals coming and going?
I couldn't say for sure. I will say maybe trying to think of the right way to put it again. Because again, you know, this was all kind of in a haze. The more mobile blight hounds, I can't really say for sure, I guess. There were ones that were more mobile that seemed like they were more ready to move. Besides the young ones that were chasing us, right? So like adult, not elderly blight hounds. But I mean, you said that something attacked that settlement and that wasn't the one that drugged me because we hadn't seen that settlement. So I would have to assume, yes, there are other ones that were venturing out.
Right.
But I got to think this practice of dragging food back to the larger group of blight hounds wasn't totally atypical.
Gotcha. And you never found any evidence of other people that might have been brought there before you?
I didn't look. I didn't find bones, but I could see those bones turning into dust.
Or clothes or anything like that.
Did we find any bones?
Only in that room. I'm answering as the GM, only in that room.
In the settlement, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I realize that was a difficult time, but I appreciate you recounting it for me.
Well, I do appreciate you coming to rescue us, even if I am maybe a little bit frustrated that it happened at all.
You are welcome.
I do have a quick question. If you were going on a date with Dion, why did you bring your 6-year-old sister?
You know, I actually had that question as well. Yes, please explain.
Oh,
also your 10-year-old brother?
Yeah, I can't like leave them alone.
I mean, there are babysitters in town, aren't there?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm somewhat responsible for them, and they're also somewhat destructive.
That's fair.
I mean, you've just described children, yes.
I'm aware. I have just described my siblings, yes.
I mean, just children in general, I feel, are vaguely destructive. Like, my niece is, like, one, breaks everything.
Yep. Yeah, that's basically, yeah, I think we probably would have gotten complaints, was no one wrangling them, and sure, could have left him in town, but also, like, you know, Rodney wanted to ride the boards. He didn't want to get left behind, you know. Just, like, as a point of order, they weren't going to an orgy.
I know. I still, as a 16-year-old, I would not have brought either of my siblings on a date ever.
No, but if you were on vacation and it was like we're going to a party of cool young people and you had ditched your siblings, they would have been mad.
Also, I still, like, even with cool party with all these other kids, I still would have abandoned my sisters at 16.
I don't think they would have liked you for it, though.
Yeah, I mean,
I can understand her being like, okay, you have to come with us, but you're going to, like, be cool about it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Very much that.
I'm just saying.
No further questions.
All right, any other questions for the kids or anyone else want to talk amongst themselves?
Should we wait till after the kids go to bed to discuss going back to town? Or are we going to have another night?
There will be another opportunity if you want there to be, but you could also do that now if this feels like when you want to have that conversation.
I know, we could travel and do it right before we get back.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of like that, like the night before.
And we need to take another day's worth of rations off, right?
Yep.
Cool. I got everyone's again, or all the kids again.
How much do you have left?
One day for me.
I have 2 days, so we'll make it.
I still have 4 days worth. I guess I took way too much.
We'll make it. How much food per day?
It's 2 pounds per day.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to do this thing where everyone keeps watch again, and I need everyone to make me some kind of notice roll for when they are on watch.
Before the kids go to bed, or before, like, the littler kids go to bed, Autumn does tell them pulp stories the whole time, you know?
Cool, give them nightmares.
She's smart enough not to give them, like, horrible nightmares. She tells them, like, the fun, tomb raiding.
How long is the watch? Are we, like, dividing it up, like, half and half, Cody, or...?
It would be, like, a quarter of the night.
Oh,
so, like, okay. Each of you take a quarter of the night.
Autumn got a 2.
Juliet got a 3.
Estelle also got a 3.
And Fred is rolling like garbage this session. That is a -1 again.
Oh, no.
Cool. Estelle and Juliet roll again.
With notice?
Yep.
+5.
Dang.
Dead gum.
+1.
All right, Juliet, I'll say you get, like, the mid-watch, right? It's 3 a.m.
I am the knight.
Way, way, way in the sky above you, you can see kind of... I think that the way the moons work, there are so many, and some of them have such an odd orbit that you can kind of see them moving. And there is that little bit of vertigo. Like, you know when there's fast-moving clouds above you and you look up and there is that, like, odd sense of vertigo as the sky's moving kind of quickly? Looking at the night sky feels a little bit like that, as you do have this sense of motion of the moons all around you. Their colors, you know, diverse and luminous in the middle of this kind of very clear night. The fires burn down sort of low, just creating this sort of light orange glow, and you can feel yourself starting to nod, even though you know you really shouldn't, as it is like, okay, like, we're far from the Blighthounds at this point, further than, you know, we've seen one other than when it just wandered out to try to hunt. But far, far, far off from the fire, you start to hear a rustling, like shaking leaves.
Like up in a tree?
No.
Like ground leaves.
Like ground leaves.
Okay.
Like almost like what it sounds like when you hear wind blowing through dead leaves.
Okay. I look in that direction. Can I tell, like, direction or anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, for sure you could tell a direction.
Okay. Can I tell direction, like, it's moving closer, it's going sideways?
Oh, it's moving closer.
It's moving closer. Okay.
Yeah. And as you kind of, like, look further, like, you can see off a little bit further than what you might expect at night, given how much moonlight there is. You can see a figure that it's weird in that it is bipedal walking towards you.
Yeah, yeah,
that sort
sure.
of stands out just initially, that there is something walking towards you. To your eyes, it seems like it's wearing some kind of loose-fitting clothes, like there is shreds and tendrils of something hanging off of it as it creeps. I wouldn't say creeps, just paces slowly towards you. It's still at this point largely in dark. The shadows on it are pretty severe from the like differing moonlight. So as you look at it, you can see like rough and indistinct features of a face, but those are cast in this sort of dim, multicolored light from all the moons moving above you.
Okay, I'm going to get out my crank flashlight and shine it in their direction, like towards their waist, I guess. I don't want to blind them.
So, oh, okay, cool. Oh, so you don't shine it right in their eyes?
No.
Okay, so as you shine the, as you lift the light up and shine it towards this figure walking towards you, what you at first took to be some kind of garment, some kind of cloak, is leaves that seem to be pouring off of this figure as it walks closer. As soon as it sees this kind of, even if it's not like crazy high technology, but even something as much as an electric light hits it, it freezes stock still, the leaves still kind of rustling even though there isn't much breeze. And then the thing kind of moves quickly, but not necessarily aggressively, as it stomps up closer to you. As it approaches, your light catches more of its full body, which seems to be entirely made of leaves growing out of a torso. It is unclear to you where that like begins and ends, if this is like a garment that it is wearing of leaves, or if it is made of leaves. It sort of looks like a stuffed scarecrow with leaves bursting at its seams.
Sure. So, and this does not look like the video of the lunar colony folks that we saw.
No. Okay. Definitely not.
Okay.
As it gets much closer to you, it stops and it kind of hunches.
Mm-hmm.
Leaning forward, you hear kind of like a creaking wooden noise as it says, "May I see that?" And it reaches out a hand.
How close is it to me?
Within reaching out hand distance.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
It moved very quickly once it saw the light.
Okay. No. And she's like backing up. Autumn?
Oh, no, don't fear. And as you start saying autumn, this thing just looks over and goes, "Peace." And you don't feel any different, but you just feel silence like press in on your ears.
Is Autumn frozen? Does it look like Autumn has been enchanted to fall asleep? Is what I'm wondering.
It looks like Autumn can't hear you.
Okay, gotcha.
There's no need for all the commotion. I'm merely curious about you and about that so fascinating light.
I would say I am curious about you too. And if we're being honest here, maybe a little nervous. I've never met someone who looks like you before. My name is Juliet. Do you have a name?
I don't have a name that you know. Let's go with no.
What should I call you then?
When you say that, the thing looks at you, and as it leans closer, the face is very angular, sharp, and worn, like it is carved almost out of stone. Able to move, but seems like it takes more effort than like a soft human face, and this kind of hard mask leans closer to you and goes, "I don't understand the concept as you do. I am a part of all of this." And it kind of like looks around. "But this is changing, and I find that oh so exciting."
Yes, I feel like I've had a front row seat to some of the changes here. What are you doing?
When you say that, this thing leans back and laughs, but that just kind of sounds like stones rustling through leaves, dry and clattering. No, no, no. You are the thing that is changing. All of you rushing through here, through all of this. That's new to me.
All right. Are we disturbing you?
No, not at all. Why do you think I came for a visit?
I don't know, honestly. Are you a deity? I've never put much stock in that sort of thing, but...
When you ask that, the thing again, like, rustles and cackles and goes, "You make deities. I am just part of this. But I find the question interesting. New ideas that I haven't heard before. And new trinkets." This thing again looks down at your hand holding that flashlight. "I've never seen that before, and I find it interesting."
I can show you how it works, I guess. The science is a little technical.
Please do!
She, like, shows the crank and, like, kind of explains the mechanism by which it works. Are those electromagnets? I forget.
Yeah, it'd be that you're spinning a magnet in a coil of wire that makes enough.
Yeah.
As you, like, explain all this, the face seems fairly expressionless, but also extremely interested, right? Like, it is wrapped in what you're talking about and what you are showing.
Just focused, yeah.
And it goes, "Well, I thank you, and I do hope to see you again. Keep in mind, I'm watching." And again, it laughs. "Not anything sinister. I'm just so interested and so happy to be found again."
It was good to meet you. It was an unexpected surprise.
And as you say that, it reaches out a hand again and, like, gently touches your face, and the fingertips that hit you feel not like rock or wood, but like flesh, which sounds gross, but, you know, they're organic.
There's like a give and a warmth to
it. Yeah, yeah. And as soon as the hand touches you, you kind of startle awake, laying down by the fire.
Oh, okay. Do I have my flashlight in my hand?
You still have your flashlight in your hand.
Okay. What are the moons? What is the position of the moons relative to when I remember seeing them?
Later.
Okay. Like an hour later or like 2 minutes later?
Say 30 minutes.
Okay.
Like, you know that feeling you get when you wake up after having nodded off? Like, duh! Like, and you like look over at the clock and it's been 30. It hasn't been two minutes, yeah. But it hasn't been 4 hours. You know, it's like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything different around?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Okay. Juliet will tell everybody about it in the morning.
You're just like, "I'm going to bed. Good night, ghost."
No, I mean, I think she's pretty awake now. but I don't think she's going to wake anybody else up unless she hears it again, maybe. She might try to call for somebody a little sooner. That's all.
All right. So the you spend the rest of the night kind of staring into like that clearing or like that gap in the trees where you saw this creature scuttle towards you. The dream doesn't fade. It remains very vivid in your mind as the night gives way to morning and, you know, everyone starts to stir and yawn.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.